Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today on Bagels and Blessings, I welcome back Rabbi Eric Tokiger. You could say he's kind of a frequent flyer on Bagels and Blessings. I've lost track how many times he's been on the program, but he always has something wonderful to say, and he's one of my dear friends. Stay with me, and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a Messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you are in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Tuesdays by appointment, Wednesdays from 3 to 8 p.m., Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m., and up to 30 minutes after services on Saturdays. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester area, be sure to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael in the Fig Tree Bookstore and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings. Also, something really important for you to put on your calendar. This would be the March of Remembrance, which is an annual walk to remember those who were lost in the Holocaust, to educate the generations that are unaware of what happened in the Holocaust. And we are raising our voices against modern-day anti-Semitism, so it's a very important event. It's going to be on May 5th. So if you're in the Rochester, New York area and you'd like to join us, go to the website rocmor.org, and that's M as in mother, rocmor.org. And there you can register to be part of the March of Remembrance. I hope to see you there. Here's Paul Wilbur, Shouts of Joy.
Right hand. Shalom, friends. This is Paul Wilbur, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord. And they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. 585-889-7840. This just in, if you are in Rochester, New York, and you visit Soho Bagel Cafe in Stone Ridge Plaza, tell them that you heard about them from Bagels and Blessings, and then you can have a free cup of coffee. Yep. On me. That's right. You tell them you heard about Soho Bagel Cafe on Bagels and Blessings, and you get a free cup of coffee. How do you like that? Well, you know what? Passover has just snuck up on me, and I realize that when this program goes on the air, Passover is going to start within a few days, so I better play some Passover music. Here's Nancy Santiago. When I first became a believer in Yeshua in 1976, I was delightfully surprised to learn that the Last Supper was a Passover Seder and that Jesus and his disciples were Jewish. I was so shocked. And so Passover has special significance for me. I celebrated it with my family as a child, but I didn't know my Messiah. And now that I do, it makes all the difference. I love the traditions. I love the music. And I just hope you enjoy this program today. So I ask you, have you ever heard that Messiah has come? Here's an oldie but goodie from the group Lamb.
Have you ever heard Messiah has come. It says in his word to cleanse everyone. Atonement he made, iniquity bore, that we can find life with him evermore. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, his blood on the altar a stain wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. Salvation has come to the world, God's own Son to the world, Jesus the one for the world. The prophets of old speak much of Messiah. His death is foretold, the purpose is clear. Isaiah did say, "'Twas for an atonement to give us a way that leads not to death." The sacrifice lamb has been slain, his blood on the altar a stain, to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. Salvation has come to the world, God's only Son to the world, Jesus the one for the world, Yeshua is he. So brothers of mine, look not to yourself, for we are but one. We all need his help. We've broken the law, but he paid our debt, that we can find life by Yeshua's death. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, his blood on the altar a stain, to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. So final atonement has come and brought us new hope by God's Son. If you will believe in your heart, Yeshua, you'll know.
This is Joel Chernoff, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
So Passover this year starts on sundown, Monday, April 22nd. And during this time, we tell our family the story of the Exodus, how our people were slaves in Egypt, and how Pharaoh refused to let us go, and how Moses finally convinced him because of all the plagues that God sent, finally let us go, and we came across the Red Sea, and it parted, and our people marched across the sea, and then the water started to come back over the land as the Egyptians tried to come after us. And so we celebrate the fact that we were slaves in Egypt, but now we're free. And many of us that don't yet know Yeshua are also in bondage, and we need to be set free as well. Maybe you know someone that is like that, or maybe you're like that yourself. Yeshua came to set us free. Hallelujah. Here's Sue Samuel.
Bondage we
This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for my interview with Eric Tokinger. But up next, one of my all-time favorite Passover songs from Liberated Wailing Wall. This is called Passover Lamb. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for the Lamb. Well, this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. You know, during the Passover Seder, which is a special ceremony with a special order where we tell the story and we have special foods on the plate, like a hard-boiled egg, which can symbolize the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, or it can also symbolize an offering. We have a shank bone to remind us of the lamb. We have bitter herbs to remind us of the bitterness of slavery. We have charoset, which is the sweetness of freedom. That's a special food made with apples and walnuts and honey. And we have let's see, horseradish, which of course really reminds us of the bitterness and that causes tears. Lots of traditional foods that we eat during the Passover Seder. And there's a song we sing called Dayenu, which means enough. And it's a fun song. And actually what it's really saying is, if he had brought us out from Egypt and had not carried out judgments against them, Dayenu, it would have sufficed. It would have been enough. If he had carried out judgments against them and not against their idols, Dayenu, it would have sufficed. It would have been enough. If he had destroyed their idols and had not smitten their firstborn, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If he had smitten their firstborn and had not given us their wealth, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If he had given us their wealth and had not split the sea for us, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If he had split the sea for us but had not taken us through dry land, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If he had taken us through the sea on dry land and had not drowned our oppressors, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If he had drowned our oppressors in it and had not supplied our needs in the desert for 40 years, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If he had supplied our needs in the desert for 40 years and had not fed us the manna, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If he had fed us the manna and had not given us the Shabbat or the Sabbath, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If he had given us the Shabbat and had not brought us before Mount Sinai, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If he had brought us before Mount Sinai and had not given us the Torah, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If he had given us the Torah and had not brought us into the land of Israel, Dayenu, it would have been enough. If he had brought us into the land of Israel and had not built for us the Holy Temple, Dayenu, it would have been enough. And so Dayenu is a fun song. The traditional song is like, Dai Dayenu, Dai Dayenu, Dai Dayenu, Dayenu, Dayenu. But Michelle Gold has a really cool version of Dayenu. And then following will be my interview with Rabbi Eric Tokinger.
Yeshua had only come to atone. Apostle Shalom, this is Michelle Gold, and you're listening to my favorite show, Bagels and Blessings.
Rabbi Eric Tokajer, welcome back to Bagels and Blessings.
It is such a blessing to be back with you. We've been friends for so long. I just enjoy these interviews and anytime we talk so much. So thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. I kind of lost track. I'm sure I can go back through the records. I mean, this might be the sixth time, maybe, just guessing. I don't know.
It's somewhere around there, but we've been doing this for quite some time, and you're the most consistent messianic radio program I know of.
Aw, hallelujah. It's just crazy to think I've been on the air for over 26 years now. It's like crazy.
Wow. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. Well, for the benefit of those that never caught the first, second, third, fourth, etc. show, do you want to just do a little bit of an overview of how you grew up and found Messiah?
Sure. I was raised in, my family was from New York, and then we moved to New Jersey when I was young. But I had my bar mitzvah in New Jersey at Temple Beth Am. I moved from there to Sarasota, where my family attended synagogue there. I joined the Navy. I had at that point become agnostic because I was, you know, when after your bar mitzvah, you actually begin studying the actual scriptures, at least in conservative Judaism. Before that, in Hebrew school and all, you learn how to be Jewish. You learn the history of Judaism. You learn Holocaust education. You learn your alphabet and how to read and write Hebrew. You learn the basic stories from the Bible, but you really don't dig into the text. I had my bar mitzvah. I started attending Hebrew high school, and where we actually started studying the text, it made me a questioner. I was reading in, for instance, Leviticus and other places about the sacrificial system, and how we would receive atonement through the blood sacrifice of Yom Kippur. When I started asking, you know, what do we do for atonement now? And they gave me, you know, well, we, you know, give tzedakah, we do good works. In the ultra Orthodox, you swing a chicken over your head and break its neck, all of these things. And I said, well, where in the scripture does it say that that's okay, that that qualifies, that we can replace? And then shortly after my bar mitzvah, you know, in that time period, actually just before the Six-Day War happened and Jerusalem became in the hands of the Jewish people again. And so I started asking, why aren't we making sacrifices then if we don't have, if we have Jerusalem? You know, before, at least there was the excuse. We don't have Jerusalem, and the scripture says you can't make the sacrifices outside of Jerusalem. So now that we have Jerusalem, why aren't we making sacrifices? And if we can make sacrifices and we're not, then how does the replacement actions of tzedakah and good works make that atonement for us anymore? If we can do it, I could understand before we couldn't do it, but now we can do it. We're not doing it. How can we still go doing this? And I couldn't get a good answer from any of the rabbis. So I actually, and I started looking around and seeing a lot of inconsistencies in the practice of those in my community. You know, marriage and divorce happening almost like changing clothes at the bar mitzvahs, and after celebrations at synagogue, they had open bars, people were getting drunk. And again, I'm not saying we shouldn't drink alcohol, because there's, but you shouldn't get drunk. There's no question about that. And so many other things that were just inconsistent that I became agnostic. Mm. I joined the Navy in that condition, continued my search in the Navy with the rabbis that were available there with no real answers that would satisfy me. And then somebody came up to me and invited me to go to church with them. I rejected them outright. But it happened to be Christmas time in Memphis, Tennessee, or Millington, Tennessee, at the Navy base I was at. They were playing Christmas music everywhere on the base, so I put in a request to the skipper of the base to have them stop playing Christian music, because even though not all Christmas music is Christian music, to me it was. And So they did. They took it off the air when the people in my unit found out I was the reason that Christian music was taken off the air. They gave me a blanket party, and which is where that somebody throws a blanket over your head in the dark, and then people beat you up. That way you can't identify who it was who did so.
Oh, no.
So one of my friends, who's still a friend today, came up to me afterwards and said, I want you to know I didn't participate in that blanket party. And I said, why not? He said, I'm a Christian. I said, what difference does that make? Christians have been killing Jews for 2,000 years. He said, not real Christians. And I said, well, I don't understand that. We began a little dialogue, and he asked me if I would study the scriptures. I told him I'd be glad to, but the scriptures end at the end of the Hebrew Bible. And he said, okay, but he didn't know anything from the first half, you know, very much from the first half. And this was pre-Google and internet days. So he went and studied and found a verse. And then he would come and tell me, this verse from Isaiah says this, this verse from here says that. And one at a time he went through, and as he did, I would show him why the verse didn't exactly say or mean what he said. But we went through, you know, probably close to 200 verses. And by that time, the preponderance of the evidence of the messiahship of Yeshua had become real to me. So, but it became a question of, was Yeshua actually God? If Yeshua was just a man, then I couldn't worship him. But if he was God, then I could. And we went to a Bible study. And in the Bible study, the Bible study teacher said, turn to St. John 14 and 7. I looked there, and I said to my buddy, look at this, what it says. And then the teacher immediately said, turn to either Galatians or Corinthians, Ephesians, one of the books. I didn't know which any of them from any of them at the time. So, but it was one of the books, and never said anything about the John passage. And so after the class, I asked the teacher, I said, first I told my buddy, I said, this guy doesn't even know what he's doing. Turn here. He doesn't say anything about it. We're wasting our time. Let's leave. And he said, well, maybe it was for you. So after the class, I went up to the teacher, and there was probably 80 to 100 people in the class. There was probably about 50 still there when this happened. I said, why did you tell us to turn to John? He said, I never did. I said, well, you did. We both heard. He said, no, I didn't. And no one else in the room but my buddy and I heard him say, turn to John. Now, that's the passage that says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why are you asking me to show the Father? I am in the Father in me, and so on. So it's about the clearest verse in the Brit Chadashah demonstrating that Yeshua was God.
Wow.
And so... now, I forgot to say, before that, we decided we were going to fast until God showed me a sign, a miraculous sign. So this was that, and then we'd been fasting no food or water for 3 days together. We went to this Bible study. That happened, and then we went out for all-you-can-eat spaghetti.
Oh my
Which
goodness.
I can tell you is not a good idea after fasting, no food or water for 3 days.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Before you go any further, I have to just say how much I could identify, you know, relate to what you were sharing about going to Sunday school and Hebrew school and all that, because they just didn't teach us about God. They taught us about our heritage, about our holidays, but they didn't teach us how to know God and how to pray to God and how to really know that He loves us. And they didn't teach us about healing. And so,
right, it was very much teaching you how to be Jewish,
yeah,
but not necessarily how to have a relationship with the God of the Jews.
Absolutely. Wow. So this is really incredible. And you know, I've had you on the air so many times, and we've talked about your books. You've written so many books. Now, did you always know that you wanted to author a book or two? Or how did you end up being not only a wonderful Messianic rabbi, but an author?
Actually, when I was younger, I hated writing. I did very little of it through school. I went to a very progressive school system in South Florida where you didn't have to do homework as long as you could understand. You understood the lessons. I wrote one or two papers my whole time through high school. I wrote much later when I went into higher education and went through to get my degree and stuff, but I hated writing. It wasn't until I taught a class on the book of Galatians and someone said, you should write this. And I said, I hate writing. And they said, well, pray about it. And I did. And I felt such a strong urge from the Lord to write it out that I wrote out the book that I wrote called Galatians in Context and went from there. Now, my very first book was finished just before that book, but I started it after that book. I started writing Galatians first, and then I wrote a book called 30, How Did I Get Here? 31 Things I Wish I Knew Before I Entered the Ministry, which was my first one published, but Galatians was the first one I started.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. If people want to get a hold of your books, what's the best way?
The easiest way is to go to RabbiEricT.com. That's my website. They can find, I think it's 7 years worth of blogs in there that are available free for people to read. But there's a link that says store. They can click on that. It brings up all of the 17 books that I've written.
17?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, Mazel Tov. What's the most recent?
The most recent book is a book called The Problem with Paul. Okay. And now several of my books are teaching. So The Problem with Paul is one of the 50 different teachings in the book is about the problem with Paul. It's not an entire book on the problem with Paul. So I just like to make that clear. There are about 50 teachings. Seven of the books are about 50 short messianic teachings in each of them. But my most recent project that I'm really excited about, I love writing the books and all, but I'm really excited about a siddur that I wrote. It's called the Simple Shabbat Siddur. And it was designed for home use for families to have an Erev Shabbat and Havdalah. You should be in synagogue on Saturday morning. So I wrote a very nice, simple, but in the siddur, it not only gives you the prayers in Hebrew and transliteration and in English, but it also gives explanations, short but clear explanations about why we do the prayers that we do and connecting them to Messiah.
Wow. I think there's a lot of people with families that listen to this program. So Rabbi Eric, E-R-I-C, and then the letter T as in Thomas, Rabbi right. Eric T at...
.com.
Oh, that's easy. RabbiEricT.com.
Yeah, RabbiEricT.com is my website. And then they can email me through the website. They can look at my books. They can read all my blogs. They can follow up on other things that are on there. So it's all available there. And they can find all of my books there. But again, that siddur has been there. And actually, there's a number of synagogues that are buying the siddur. It comes in paperback and hardback, and some are buying hardback, some are buying paperback, and giving them to their congregation families so they can have them. And one congregation is actually using it as a visitor gift. When people come to their congregation, they give them a copy of it as a gift for them visiting.
Excellent idea. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Well, I have to give a little shout out to you because you were the catalyst for me writing my only book. I mean, you've written 17 books. I have one, and that's probably the only one. But, you know, one is better than none. But I don't think I would have even thought about writing these chapters about relationships had you not had your online website, the Messianic Daily News, and you were just asking people if they wanted to write for it. Now, I remember saying, gee, I'm really passionate about relationships. Can I write about relationships? And you said, sure, go for it. And so I started writing a few blogs for you, and those blogs became chapters in my book. And so I kind of owe it all to you.
Well, I was so thrilled that you wrote that book, and I've shared it on my social media, encourage people to get it. And if there's listeners that are listening to your program right now that haven't bought it, I encourage them to run out and pick it up I was a little saddened that the bookstore didn't want you to do a signing there recently because they didn't feel like your book fit into their whatever. The truth is, in our society today, books like yours that give good, solid, biblical advice on relationships are desperately needed. So I was so excited to see that you wrote it and look forward to seeing it become a bestseller.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, you're my inspiration.
Well, thank you. I also wanted to thank you for having my son on a little while back. There's something special when you get to watch your children succeed and achieve. And so I know that you've done that with your children, and I get to see, so thankful for Facebook. I know some people hate it, but I love being able to keep up with my friends and their families and the photos and all. So, thank you so much for having my son, David, on your program not long ago, and for having Catherine on your program not long ago, Catherine Riston, also a dear friend, my assistant rabbi's wife. So your program has inspired so many other people. So while I may have inspired you, I promise you that you've inspired many more.
Aw, God bless you. Speaking of blessings, how would you like us to be praying for you or your family, congregation, anything?
There's a number of things going on. Family-wise, everything is good. I appreciate your prayer for my family all the time. Our congregation is, we've got a number of things going on. We just, thank God, settled a claim for our building. Our building got hit 3 years ago in a hurricane.
Ooh.
And it took 3 years for the insurance company to finally settle with us. So we finally got, just today, the settlement paperwork to sign and send back so we can get our roof replaced and a couple other things. We're about to expand our building, so it kind of timed out at the right time, because rather than fixing the roof and then tearing it off to add the addition, we're going to be able to do it all at once. We're about to enter a building program to expand our fellowship hall to three times the size it is right now, and add a balcony in our sanctuary. So please be praying as all that happens. This May, our building will be completely paid off. And of course, now we're going to, you know, add a little bit of debt, but very little to build this addition. But we've grown so much, we have to do it. During COVID, surprisingly, our congregation grew by a third. And since then, we've grown dramatically after that. So God's been very, very faithful. And a lot of what we do at our congregation is fellowshipping and spending time together and building relationships, which is, again, one reason I love your book, because it's about relationships and building strong relationships. And someday you're going to have to come down and hang out with us.
Oh, I'd love to. Well, that begs another question. For people that are in Florida, tell us where and when you meet.
We are in Pensacola, Florida, and we meet on Tuesday evenings for our Bible study at the synagogue. We also have our Saturday service, which begins with breakfast at 8 o'clock. Then we have from 9 o'clock to 9:45 a question and answer class, where I just take whatever questions people have for 45 minutes. Our regular service starts at 10 o'clock and ends somewhere around noon. And then we have a Oneg Shabbat, a time of fellowship, and that can last all the way till sundown. So we enjoy and encourage everybody to come visit with us and hang out as much as they can. Then we have two Bible studies in coffee houses. So twice a week we meet and have a Torah study in a coffee house.
Sounds like a great place to hang out. Boy, am I tempted.
And we're only minutes from the beach. So, you know, there is that also.
Oh, okay. You got me. Oh, that sounds wonderful. Well, this is just fantastic. And I want to congratulate you on 17 books. That is amazing.
And by the time this airs, it'll be 18 books, because I have one coming out the end of this month.
And of course, that is the Hebrew number for chai, for life.
Absolutely.
Well, mazel tov. I'm proud of you. I really am. So thank you again for being on the air with me. And I know this is not the last time, so we'll do it again. How's that sound?
these are always a highlight of my year and my time. I just enjoy speaking to you. And we have such friendship between us that it's just like coming home.
Aw, bless you so much. Consider yourself hugged.
And likewise, and my wife sends her love.
Oh, well, love back to her, too. Well, thank you for now. We'll say shalom for now, and I'll talk to you off air. And until next time, shalom, dear.
Shalom.
That was my interview with Rabbi Eric Tokinger. And you know, one of the cool things about Passover is that we eat matzah, or unleavened bread, which reminds us that our people left in a hurry and they didn't have time for the bread to rise. But when you look at matzah, it's bruised, it's striped, it's pierced. And there's a part of the Passover Seder where you take the middle matzah and you break it in half and you wrap it in a linen cloth and you hide it, and then later it's redeemed for a prize. And here we have a picture of our Messiah. It's just incredible. Well, thank you so much for listening. We do have time for one more song. To close out today's show, we have Marty Goetz with Exodus. Remember to keep praying for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the release of the hostages. Pray for safety.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand and this land with me, and walk this golden land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be strong to make this land our home. If I must fight, I'll fight to make this land our God. I know I can.
Vayismarecha. Yair Adonai panavalecha vikunecha. Yisadonai panavalecha. V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.